Disability Rights Connecticut released a report following an investigation into sexual misconduct at Connecticut's only prison for women. It is a 27-page report highlighting alarming problems that, if not corrected, will only allow the problem to continue at a high rate, according to the Civil Rights Agency. Joining me now to discuss the report is State Senator John Kissel, who is also the ranking senator on the Judiciary Committee. Senator Kissel, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I am fabulous, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to you, Melissa, and all your wonderful listeners down there in the southern part of the state.
Thank you. We very much appreciate it. This is certainly a pretty alarming report. And again, there were a lot of different findings and then recommendations to correct these problems. What stood out for you after reading through this report, Senator?
Just the number of violations and incidents where women who are in a particularly vulnerable position, obviously, if you're in prison, we don't want escapes, right? So there's nowhere to go. There may be blind spots in that facility where cameras aren't able to make sure that all corrections officers are acting appropriately. So I need to look at more details of each of these incidents, but there's about nine of them in a relatively short period of time. There's one matter, Melissa, where an inmate has been granted permission to bring a claim against the state of Connecticut. I know very well Robert Shea, our claims commissioner. We've revamped that process, but that'll be an interesting area where we can gather more information because there'll be more information because it's an ongoing claim against the state of Connecticut. And we could be on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars also. So I'm going to set up a meeting with Commissioner Quiros of the Department of Corrections. My friend and colleague, Senator Paul Ciccarella, who is the ranking member on public safety and a former corrections officer himself, will be attending with me. We'll see if the commissioner wants to bring in some other folks. But we got to get it to the bottom of this because we have a responsibility not only to the corrections officers and to the people of the state of Connecticut, but to anybody who's incarcerated. They're our responsibility, and they're doing their time, but they should not be prey for people that want to abuse them and sexually assault them, especially in women's facilities down at York.
So this report really out of the gate highlights three major problems. One is failure to remediate blind spots, so areas mm-hmm. hidden from camera view throughout the facility where sexual abuse apparently continues to occur. Failure to protect women from sexual abuse from staff, and lack of timely and comprehensive sexual abuse incident reviews. So I have two questions. My first sure. is, do you think that the reason this has, I guess, gone unchecked or hasn't been fixed for a long time is the fact that you are talking about people who are incarcerated? So the idea of who cares? You know, they did something wrong. That's how they ended up there. Who cares? Because you know there are going to be people who say that. Like, why are we even focusing on this? This is clearly people who broke the law and deserve to be in prison. So who cares? Right? I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, Melissa, I don't believe any member of the legislature, Democrat or Republican, on the Judiciary Committee or anywhere else, has a who cares attitude. The public, members of the public may. But I would just say, hey, listen, I'm a law and order guy. I have been lucky enough to be a state senator for a number of years. And yet when you get sentenced, you don't get sentenced to random sexual assaults at the whim of a corrections officer. So, yeah, that may be how some people feel about this. But we have rules and regulations. You're cooling your heels. You're incarcerated. But that doesn't mean it's open season on you and your body and psychology. None of that. And so I would just say that's an unacceptable view. I think it's an uninformed view. And I would like to think that the vast majority of folks here in Connecticut don't share that view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love your answer. Senator Kissel, the other part of my question was going to be, and the reason I'm asking these is not because it's my opinion. I just want to make that very clear to listeners who are like, oh, Melissa's heartless. Yeah. But I have to speak for those who I know what their reactions are, because I get hundreds of emails and inquiries from people on a daily basis. So I do know the reactions of people. The other one, though, that I'm sure is going to come up, and this one I think is a little more valid in the sense that we know there's an issue in a lot of agencies where shortages are happening. You can't overlook the fact that there is a shortage of corrections officers in the state of Connecticut. Also, we've seen a lot of corrections officers be horribly abused by people that they are supposed to be monitoring and essentially taking care of. You know, does that play any factor in this, or is that something that needs to be weighed in, or is that also kind of a cop out to say, well, we have a shortage of corrections officers? So, for example, a lack of timely and comprehensive sexual abuse incident reviews. It's like, well, let's weigh this here. Are we really going to risk losing another person over something that may or may not have happened? Let's delay the process and maybe it'll go away. Again, not saying that's fair or just, but do you think that plays a role into why this is happening at an exponential rate?
Well, Melissa, I appreciate you taking the devil's advocate point of view, and I know you are not cold and heartless, and neither are your listeners. Yeah, there's some, I understand when people say, if you do the crime, you got to pay the time. I get that. And I want to just say right now, I want to thank Adam Liegeau and my legislative aide, Caitlin Liegeau, for making sure this is front and center when this report was issued at the beginning of this week. But here's the deal. I don't care how short you are on personnel. There are certain responsibilities that cannot be shirked. We have a moral, ethical, and just visceral responsibility to the health and welfare of individuals placed in our trust, whether that's in a DCF capacity, whether it's in a hospital capacity, or whether it's in a correctional capacity. So number one, there may be some technical issues why they can't fix where the blind spots are in the facility, but I want to know the details. Mm-hmm. What is their plan? How long is it going to take to roll out? And how can we make sure that's taken off the table as soon as possible? Because if there's no hiding places to do these acts, there's going to be a lot less people brave enough or stupid enough to try to do these things and think they're going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Brave was probably not the right word. Number two, just doing the forms. Come on. That's part of the job. And you've got to have people that are able to fill out the reports in a prompt and fashion. But the reason we expect that as a legislature, and I'm sure Governor Lamont and the executive branch, because we need to know what's wrong so we can fix it. So I think that cop-out's sort of a nice way of putting it, but I would find that unacceptable. I want to get to the bottom of this. Like I said, yeah, you do the crime, you pay the time, and you're incarcerated. And by the way, I actually think it's tough to get sentenced to prison in Connecticut. You have so many bites at the apple. We bend over backwards to have remedial programs. If you're in prison, you've probably done something really bad, and my heart goes out to all their victims. But that doesn't give us a license to re-victimize the perpetrators in the hidden secret corners of our correctional facilities and then let the corrections officers off the hook. And so that's unacceptable. And I want to get to the bottom of this so that we have a functioning correctional system that does the job, because 90% of these folks are going to be back out into society. And if we abuse them within the correctional facilities, they're not going to be corrected and ready to become tax-paying, law-abiding citizens when they get released.
We are chatting right now with State Senator John Kissel, who is also the ranking senator on the Judiciary Committee here in Connecticut. A new report was just released this month by Disability Rights Connecticut, and it looks at an investigation into sexual misconduct at Connecticut's only prison for women, and the details are pretty brutal. Just want to let you know, Disability Rights Connecticut is a private nonprofit organization. It was actually designated by Governor Lamont to serve as Connecticut's protection and advocacy system. And so this is a pretty credible source, to say the least. In this report, it really highlighted three major issues. In particular, it talked about a failure to fix the blind spots in York Correctional Institution. That's what we're talking about. It also looks at the failure to protect women from sexual abuse by staff and a lack of timely and comprehensive sexual abuse incident reviews. You had mentioned before, Senator Kissel, that if we don't address what is going on at the prison, obviously, there's the human aspect of it, right? This is just wrong, plain wrong. You shouldn't need a moral compass to tell you that sexually abusing anyone, regardless of what they did or how they ended up in prison, should be seen as wrong, full stop. But beyond that, you mentioned something really important, which is that most times people are eventually released from prison and they are then integrated back into society. And I'd love to get your thoughts. Obviously, you are very invested in talking to the Department of Correction about this and really trying to fix the issue. When you go through that type of trauma, already being in a prison as well, I mean, how does that impact you getting back into society and having any sense of normalcy?
Melissa, I have to compliment you because you are spot on in being concerned about this particular issue. And just a quick shout out to my counsel, Melanie Dykus, because we're going to be drilling down deep on this report, and she'll be by my side when we meet with the corrections commissioner and his staff. And one last point before I get directly to your question. Yeah, this group was appointed by Governor Lamont. He's running for re-election. He's from down near your neck of the woods. I would hope that he's as upset with this report as I am, maybe more so, because this is his administration and the buck stops with him. So I'm hoping you get him on your program or someone that can speak for him and ask him these questions too. But yes, if you have a double standard, if the system is perceived as hypocritical, if you are someone that is at the mercy of a system, whether you're someone that's incarcerated, maybe you're in a mental health institution, maybe you've been placed by Department of Children and Families, and now you're abused, and the government is taking a blind eye to that abuse, you are going to get out into society and feel like, what the heck? What does it matter? Because guess what? It's two standards, and why should I even care what the laws are when the people that are supposed to enforce the laws don't even follow the laws? So that is not only a terrible message, but the consequences of that is when these folks are released, and like I said, over 90% of the folks that are incarcerated are going to be back in society. That's why we call it corrections. We want people to be corrected, law-abiding, productive citizens. And I've seen that positivity happen a million times. We are very good at that when we focus our attention. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is a crime. When you rape someone, when you force yourself sexually on someone, man or woman, in a correctional facility, I don't want to hear about how many people are in the facility. I don't want to hear about blind spots. That's a crime. Bring in the state police and arrest those people and prosecute them to the full extent of the law. That's the message that needs to be given not only to the inmates, but to the rest of the public. And if we have a double standard, no one's going to want to follow the law. They're just going to say it depends on who you know, where you know, who you are. That is not Connecticut. That's not the Connecticut I grew up in. And I am fired up about this because this is completely unacceptable. This is a really scary report. And I would hope that my colleagues in the legislature, as well as the folks that I serve up here in North Central Connecticut, but also downstate, are really outraged by this, because it may not be a sympathetic victim, but it's still a victim and it's still a crime. And the last point I'll make is these are important issues to me coming and going. The women's facility at York is not in my district, but I am the state senator that has more correctional facilities than any other state senator, because most of the men's facilities are up here in North Central Connecticut, where my district is, in Enfield and Suffield and Summers. So this is just unacceptable. I hope the commissioner is like on it like yesterday. And I want looking forward to this meeting and getting some real solid answers. And so I want to compliment you.
We
can't have two standards.
Well, thank you. When are you meeting with them? Did they set something on the calendar to meet with you, Department of Correction?
Hey, we're in the middle of the holidays. We just got the report this week. So my legislative aide is in the process of reaching out to the commissioner. I would guess it'll be, and actually I'm expecting, sometime in January.
Okay.
And actually that's fortuitous because it's a short session year, which means February to May. So it'll be before we even go into session, plenty of time to come up with proposed legislation. And I would bet dollars to donuts we are going to have legislation proposed. And if my leadership of the committee won't do it, I'll do it. Or if the administration doesn't propose it, I'll propose it. We will have bill proposals to address each of these issues when we begin session in February.
Yeah, I mean, in the report, they even have actually on page 6 a call to action with several recommendations for the legislature, including amending certain bills, or I should say laws on the books. Question for you, Senator Kissel. Do you believe after reading this report that this could be an issue in other correctional facilities, not just the only women's facility?
Well, certainly I believe that men are just as vulnerable to just think that women are particularly vulnerable. But the fact that there's just one facility with these women creates a great spectrum of, like, you might have folks that are super tough and can defend themselves at the drop of a hat, but you might have people that are very vulnerable to being assaulted. That goes with the male system as well. And so I think there may be some of these situations occurring. It's worth looking into, but I think that the women's facility being isolated and being the only one where women of all ages and all capacities go to puts them in a particularly vulnerable situation, especially if there are these blind spots that have not been addressed. Hey, it's 2025. We can't even walk out the door without our cell phone knowing where we are. There shouldn't be any blind spots in any correctional facilities where abuse can take place.
Agreed. I do think, though, Senator Kissel, after you go through this report with the Department of Correction and everything, I do think at some point, again, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. You clearly do it well. You don't need me. But I do feel like after reading a report like this, as egregious as it is, I do think it leads to at least either Disability Rights Connecticut. I don't know. I think you got to then look at every other correctional facility. I do, because I can't imagine that this would only, and again, maybe it is just in the only women's, but I feel like we're not doing a full picture if we don't look at every single facility. That's just my two cents.
Well, we definitely have problems throughout the state of Connecticut in our correctional facilities. Unfortunately, it goes way beyond certain incidents with sexual assault. We've had an inmate that was just killed through
yes.
the bad behavior of a correctional officer, and we just paid out hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to a claim by his estate. There are bad things happening in the Department of Corrections, no doubt about it. There is an ombuds person out there. There are people investigating. I want to give props to this group that did this report, because they have concrete recommendations they'd like us to act on. A lot of times we get complaints, but no solutions. And they've given us some ideas for solutions and legislative changes. And I'm all about that, and I want to give them a big round of applause. So, Governor Mont, you picked a good group. Now, follow through, buddy, and start getting to work and making sure this doesn't happen in the future, Governor Lamont.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good call to action. And Senator Kissel, will you please keep us in the loop? I really would appreciate, after you do, I would imagine, meet with the Department of Corrections on this. Would love to, you know, hear more about this, and certainly during the legislative session, see how it's going to get addressed by lawmakers. Thank you so much for giving us the time again. State Senator John Kissel here, who is the ranking senator on the Judiciary Committee on WICC. By the way, I am going to link for you that 27-page report. So if you would like to go and back and read it, you could find it attached to Senator Kissel's podcast when we post it on WICC's website. That's thevoiceofct.com.